Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Min Dong.
I'm Matt Giglio. 41 days till the college basketball season begins.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done an episode. We're planning to do a back-to-back today and tomorrow, obviously. College has gotten the best of us.
Yeah, it has indeed. That's usually what happens. I mean, this is our first rodeo with college, but it's very hard to manage your time with all the stuff going on. But we're hopefully getting back into the podcast swing of things, especially when the season rolls around. That's going to be a very hard time to get a lot of things out there. But very excited for today's episode as we got the glorious SoCon, also known as the Southern Conference, today's episode. Yeah, starting with the S's, man, for the mid-majors. We're getting close to those high-major conferences, so we're very excited to get towards the end of these conference previews. But still got a long ways to go till we get there. 41 days, like you talked about. Very excited to get today's episode as SoCon, usually glorious and usually a great conference every year.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. I know school's been taking a lot of time, and it's also football season. We're on our fantasy teams a lot, and we actually just made a trade, me and you. The trade was you received Cordero Patterson, and I received Tim Patrick. What is your thought on that trade? I know you're on the other side. I think it's good for me, but what do you think about it for you?
I think it benefits both of our teams, which is obviously what we want to do. Obviously, you're Road to Madness partners in the fantasy world, but I mean, we're still rivals in that when we play each other, but obviously hoping for the success of your fantasy team. Mine's looking a little bit rough right now. We're 1-2, you're 2-1, so we'll see what happens, but as we like to say, it's a long season, and it only matters in March. For fantasy purposes, it matters in January. But besides the point, let's just get back to these conference previews as we got the SoCon today. How are we doing it? You got to get with the program by now. Once we get to the mid-majors, we're not giving you the program. I'm sorry. That's just how we're going to do it. But we got Player of the Year, Dark Horse teams today, 10-1. So I'm very excited to get the SoCon. We got different Player of the Years for the first time in a while, it seems. But who is your SoCon Player of the Year?
My SoCon Player of the Year from Chattanooga, David Jean Baptiste, 16 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 1.5 steals. Last season, he also entered the transfer portal halfway through the season and then decided to come back. And Chattanooga, very good season last year. They're going to be legit this year.
Yeah, legit is definitely the right word for Chattanooga. I know you're very high on them last year. I think this year is definitely the time to be very high on them. They got a lot of great things coming in as well. We're going to talk about them a little bit later in this episode more in depth. But my player of the year, a familiar name to this SoCon, he was killing it last year, Hayden Brown from the Citadel. Yes, the Citadel, very team close to my heart. Also, shout out to John Rothstein. I'm wearing the merch today. I forgot to mention that. But yes, Hayden Brown, a glorious figure to college basketball. Very great things with the high-powered Citadel offense. 19 points a game, 10.5 rebounds, 3 assists per game this past season. Definitely going to take a huge step up as some guys from the Citadel have been had left from last year's squad. But yeah, Citadel, one of the most high-powered offenses in the nation. The defense, not so great, but hey, offense sometimes does the job. So I got Hayden Brown as my player of the year for the SoCon.
Yeah, and I totally forgot I had that shirt too, but it's not on me on campus. I forgot it while I was moving. I had the opportunity to get it, but thanks for reminding me. I can now get it over Columbus Day weekend.
Yes, and I'll get my Justin Turner shirt as well, and I'll probably bring a couple of my jerseys. I know it's a little bit iffy bringing a Wisconsin, a Miami jersey, and a UMass jersey. But, hey, I'm going to start bringing some more college gear. I got a Duke shirt in my closet, and I got a couple other colleges in here. But I'll probably bring a couple more just to show that I'm a very big college basketball guy. But I can't really wear that stuff in public because I'll get hated on. But, hey, I'll do what I have to do.
Yeah, it is what it is now. Clemson football has gone cold, and you are now in college basketball mode.
Yep, indeed I am. I do play PC this weekend, though. I might be at that game, might not be. I still do not know what my ticket status is looking like at this moment. But, yeah, besides the point, we're getting off topic. Let's just get to your dark horse for the SoCon.
Yeah, dark horse, Wofford. Obviously, a lot of teams in this conference, they live and die by that three-pointer. I think Wofford, they make threes at the highest clip of all those teams, and they do it the best. So, therefore, they're my dark horse.
Yeah, very, very bold take, very reasonable take. Wofford, man, they've been running near the top of the SoCon for the past decade or so. You remember the great days of Fletcher McGee, always never forgotten. But, yeah, Wofford, a very good team with a three-point clip. Like you said, this team's definitely going to be very good once again, as they were last year. My dark horse, VMI, baby. VMI, a very good season last year. Very underwhelming. Underrated season last year, I should say. Three stars, little bench Drew return, though, for VMI. I believe this team was the seventh seed or sixth. I think they're the sixth seed, actually, in the SoCon. And, maybe that was Mercer. I'm mixing up my teams, but I know VMI had a great upset in the first round of the SoCon tournament, and they made it pretty far. They did make it, I believe, to the semifinals it was. But regardless, VMI, three stars, little bench. They do return Jake Stevens. They do lose, unfortunately, Greg Parham, but also Camden Kerfman comes back. VMI, another under-the-radar team in the SoCon once again this year, so don't sleep on them.
Mm-hmm. And now we get to the main rankings. Obviously, like you stated, 10 teams in the SoCon will go from 10 to 1. Like I say, every episode might be getting old, but every conference has a last place team. In my opinion, it is Western Carolina. Top three starters are gone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know I have a different team, number 10, but I'm agreeing with you. Mid-episode switch. Clear bottom team, I think it's Western Carolina as well. They lost Mason Faulkner. They lost Corey Hightower. They lost Xavier Cork. Like you said, the top three gone. The other two stars and some of the bench do return, but I think without these top three, West Carolina definitely in for a huge rebuild mode. So it's going to be a very completely new look. We'll see how it goes, but I think this team, huge step back from last year's success.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, at number nine, it was tough finding a number nine team, but I'm putting Samford here. I'm very interested in Samford this season. Most of their team is back, including four starters. And two starters of those four, they're finally healthy. And what happened last time they were healthy? They actually beat Belmont. So that shows that this team can be really good. But I'm putting them at number nine because I'm a little skeptical, but I'm pretty interested in them this year.
Yeah, man. Speaking of Belmont, official news, they are joining the MVC next season. So watch out for that. We didn't know in the timeline when that was going to be. But it has been decided, though. Next season, Belmont will be joining the MVC. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more in depth as probably next offseason, we assume. But huge realignment news for the MVC and the OVC. But besides the point, Samford is my number nine team as well. Four stars, most of the bench return, like you said. I think Samford's been a bottom-tier team in the SoCon for the past few seasons. They do lose their top two options, unfortunately. They were both injured midway through the season, so they definitely had a lot of guys step up big. But A.J. Stanton, McCray is the name to watch out for this Samford team. And if he gets going and a couple other guys get going, Samford could be pretty dangerous as a number nine team in the SoCon.
Mm-hmm. Number eight, I have Mercer here, another team that lives and dies by the three-pointer. Very electric offense, but they lose one of the top mid-major players last year in Ross Cummings. So, yeah, they lose two other starters and some of their bench as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be struggling seasons for them, but their offense can always keep them in games.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more about that last statement right there. Mercer's offense is definitely very lethal and very powerful. That is why I have him here number eight as well. Two stars, some of the bench do return. A terrific season was last year. They were the seventh seed, and they fell just short. I think they made it to the finals, I believe, against UNC Greensboro, and they lost in that game. But they were the seventh seed, and they made it there, so shout out to Mercer. Ross Cummings, a huge piece to that success. Like you said, he is gone now, fortunately. But they do return their second option in Nefalte Alvarez, who was a very big piece as well to Mercer's success. But will Mercer have another magical run? I think they definitely could. But I really think it depends on who steps up in March because they had a pretty good historic March. So it's just kind of going to be a month of the Izzo for this Mercer team.
Mm-hmm. Number seven, I have your favorite team in this conference, the Citadel here. And I see you fist pumping. But, yeah, the Citadel, they love to run and gun. They love to shoot threes. Hayden Brown is back, obviously your player of the year. And offense, it's never the question for them. They can score 100 points any game, but – sadly, they allow more than 100 points a game. So their defense is obviously the question.
Oh, yeah. That's been the question for the past couple of years with the Citadel team. But they were my dark horse last year. Hey, a bold prediction from me. It turned out to be pretty well, if I do say so myself. I got Citadel one spot higher, though. I'll talk about them in a minute. And here's where things get very interesting for me. I got ETSU here at number seven. I know. You are very sharp in that decision. I know. It's a bold decision, but I really do think ETSU takes a step back this year. Three stars, some of the best to return. Yes, I know. But they do lose Jason Shea, as he is now gone from ETSU. To return top option, Ladarius Brewer and David Sloan, who came off the bench as a spark plug. But something just tells me ETSU is taking a down season. Why? I don't know. It's just my gut. And I think these top six teams are very good. And yeah, so I'm putting ETSU down here. I think it's going to be a little bit of a down year, as it was a pretty successful year for them. It was last season.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with another program. I think it's going to take a huge step down. That program, the defending champs of this conference, UNC Greensboro. They lose Isaiah Miller, one of the greatest players in that program's history. And, yeah, they lose a couple more guys. I just think they're going to take a step down, just a hunch.
Yeah, I mean, a very bold hunch. I mean, UNC Greensboro has been at the top of the tower for the SoCon these past couple seasons. They do lose their coach as well in Wes Miller. So definitely a very reasonable statement to have them drop. Something tells me I think they're still going to be staying around. So I got them a little bit higher. So I'll talk about them later in this episode. Here's where I have the Citadel at number six. Three stars, most of the bench do return for the Citadel. Very good postseason it was. A very disappointing regular season, yes, but a good postseason to result, or kind of balance itself out, I guess. Hayden Brown, player of the year coming back, potential player of the year, I should say. They do lose Caden Rice and A.B. Fletcher, though. Two huge pieces to that Citadel offense last year. But like you said, the main problem, the defense. The offense is there. It's been there, and it's always going to be there. It's just a problem of the defense. And if they can hold more points against, then more points scored for the Citadel team.
Mm-hmm. And that same thing applies to that number five team, VMI. I really like them this season. I think this is a good range for them, this little 3-7 range. And Jake Stevens, I think he's going to be one of the top mid-major big men in all of college basketball next year.
Yeah, agreed. 100% agreed. He had a very good season last year. Definitely going to take a huge step up now that Greg Parham is now gone. So I think Stevens is definitely that number one focal point option. And it's going to definitely draw more defense to him. But I really do think VMI's problem is their defense as well. But I think they're in a little bit better shape than the Citadel is at this moment. So that's why I also have VMI as my dark horse at number five.
Mm-hmm. At number four, Wofford, obviously. Three starters are back. They do lose Storm Murphy. They can shoot threes, and they do it best in this conference.
Yeah, man. I mean, Wofford's been dominating towards the top these past couple of seasons, if I do say so myself. Three stars, like you said, most of the bench. Storm Murphy gone, yes, huge loss. I think Wofford's still going to be at the top of the tower, as they usually are. And they bring back lots of scoring off the bench, believe it or not. I think it's really going to be a different look for Wofford. They're not going to have a really go-to guy like they did with Storm Murphy last year. I think it's going to be a plethora of guys that step up and score the ball. And it's going to be team basketball, which is something I've loved these past couple of years. Wisconsin was a pretty big team basketball-oriented team. I think Wofford's going to be a little bit similar to that, where it's an all-around scoring effort, and that's why they're going to be so successful. But I really do think Wofford's going to be definitely in the top five, no questions asked.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. And at number three, I have Furman here, the top two guys. Noah Gurley, he's at Alabama now. And Clay Mounts, where did Clay Mounts go?
I don't know, but I love Clay Mounts. Watched him at Furman. I'll do a quick little research as you get your spiel.
Yeah, but yeah, another program with a very explosive offense, Mike Bothwell returns, as well as Alex Hunter, the third and fourth options, who are really good offensively as well. I think Furman would be very good this year.
Yes, and Clay Mounts, he is actually overseas, I believe. I believe he's in the Euro League, from what I can tell with my research. Doesn't say what team exactly he's on. Hold on, give me a second. He's with Overtime. It says he's with Overtime, but I don't even know, to be honest.
He is, I see it now. He is with a team in the Netherlands. Yeah, he's with a team in the Netherlands. Best of luck to him, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a lot of noise going on outside my hall. I do not know why. Something must have happened, but regardless, yes, the Netherlands, I do see that as well. But Clay Mounts, definitely a huge loss to that Furman team, like you talked about. This is actually my number three team as well in this conference. Furman, man, they've been at the top for the past couple of years as well. I remember that year they were ranked at number 25 at one point, and they played, I believe it was Villanova they played. Did they beat Villanova, or was that they just lose to them?
No, they beat Villanova.
That's what I thought. I remember. You remember that season? That's when they were ranked, and they had some pretty good wins under their belt, and they were undefeated for a while. Kind of similar to a Drake from last year's run, but I think Furman's still going to be a very good team. They do return Mike Brothwell, like you said, and as well as Alex Hunter, but they do lose Noah Gurley and Clay Mounts. So two huge pieces coming back, two huge pieces lost, kind of negates itself, but I do think this team will still be very successful. And this team was stunned by VMI in the first round. So very disappointing in OT this game was. So pretty disappointing postseason, pretty good regular season. Hopefully going to change the narrative, I guess, of the story. And hopefully this team sees more postseason success this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm. And I remember Furman actually going toe-to-toe with Alabama this past season. I still remember that game. I remember Clay Mount scoring 21 points. And then all of a sudden, he just fouled out just like that. Just like that.
Yeah, man, I remember that game too, and that's really how I found out about Clay Mounts. I'm like, whoa, this guy's a hooper, man. And I was very pleased with what he was doing, and I really do like Furman. I do think UNC Greensboro definitely ran this conference last year, but I think it's going to be a little bit different this year. And it's just very unfortunate that Furman doesn't return all four of those guys, because if they do, I think Furman might be the number one team in this conference if both Clay Mounts and Noah Gurley came back. But unfortunately, they both are gone, so I think Furman definitely took a huge drop. But this team's still going to be competing 100%. Do not count Furman out.
Mm-hmm. At number two, I have East Tennessee State here. Very bold by me, in my opinion. Jason Shea is out. Still don't understand why he was fired, but they actually had a terrific hire, in my opinion. And Desmond Oliver, who's an assistant coach at Tennessee, good amount of the team back. Both Brewer brothers are back, and as well as David Sloan. I think this program will continue to find success.
Yeah, I don't think Jason Say got fired. I'm pretty sure he left on his own.
Yeah, he did resign.
I really don't understand what the real reason was. I believe it was due to racism or something like that. We're still not really unsure what happened, but I know it was something to do with race involved, I believe. But he was definitely standing up for his players, and the players still respect him from what I saw from the news. But this was a long time ago, so I really do not remember exactly what happened precisely. But I know he's out the door. He did it on his own. That's all I really know about it. But ETSU is still going to be a very good team. I think they're going to fling in a roll. But I got UNCG, the reigning champs, here at my number two spot. Three stars and a little bench to return for UNCG. I know. It's going to be a very different look. They had a very good run last year, made it to the tournament, obviously lost to FSU by 10, I believe it was, in the first round. But Keyshawn Langley, man, he is back, so watch out for him, the new face of the UNCG team. And Isaiah Miller gone, like you said, historic career at UNC Greensboro. I still think this team is going to compete 100% in the SoCon Conference. Wes Miller's gone, I know. He's going to Cincinnati, I know. But I really do think this team's going to be still very good. Besides the Wes Miller effect, that's something going to be hugely missed from the UNC Greensboro team. But don't sleep on UNC Greensboro. A lot of people are taking them, disapproving them because they lost so much. But I think this team still heavily competing and competitive in this SoCon Conference.
Mm-hmm. And the number one team in the SoCon, very obvious, is Chattanooga. Four starters back. Obviously, they're two. I see your reaction. You're crazy, man. But yeah, four starters back and some of the bench. David Jean Baptiste, obviously, their leader. Malachi Smith, obviously, a great second option. He was a transfer from West Virginia last year and played out of his mind. And additionally, they got Silvio Dos Souza and from Arkansas. Man. I'm gonna toss out a bold prediction right now. Chattanooga will be a Sweet 16 team in March.
Wow, you're serious, right?
I'm serious.
Wow, that's very bold of you. I don't know if there's ever been has a SoCon team ever made it to the Sweet 16? I feel like they have at least maybe once, but I feel like it's a very bold prediction, but. We can do some research maybe after, but Chattanooga, definitely the number one team in this conference this year. I definitely agree. I know you're very big on them last year, and I think they're going to be very good this year. Four stars, some of the bench do return for this team, like you said. Disappointing end of the season. Obviously, David Jean Baptiste left, came back. Things were going well. They definitely took a tough bounce in the first round of the SoCon Conference tournament, but this team looked loaded once again, man. David Jean Baptiste fully committed, it seems, and Malachi Smith, a very good addition, or a very good season last year for him. In addition, man, Silvio De Souza, like you said, coming over from Kansas. He's a great player, man. And I know things kind of went south with him at Kansas, but I think he definitely reemerges as a huge star and a huge piece on why Chattanooga is so good this upcoming season. Definitely a contender for the SoCon, definitely a front runner, no questions asked. So I'm very excited to see what Chattanooga has in store and if they can keep it up as a number one team. Because I think there's a lot of great teams in the SoCon that can definitely keep hang with Chattanooga. I think all the way down to maybe number seven. I think teams from 2 to 7 have a chance to compete with Chattanooga. I think it's going to be a very fun SoCon conference once again with a lot of new faces, but I still think it's going to be very fun to watch per usual.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. SoCon, I love watching the SoCon. I think it's one of the top mid-majors, mid-major conferences in the past couple years. It's always been very competitive, and it always has a chance for a multi-bid to be a multi-bid conference as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I know it's been a one bid last year, and I believe the year before that it was a one bid. But this has definitely been a two bid conference in prior years, in March at least. I think this year probably going to be a one bid conference from what I can tell as of right now. But you never know, man. It's college basketball, and anything is bound to happen. Like we saw last year with Samford beating Belmont. I mean, that was pretty underrated. But definitely anything's possible in this SoCon conference and even in college basketball. But yeah. SoCon, great conference. Shout out to the SoCon. We love the SoCon. Both of us do. Probably one of the better mid-major conferences in all of college basketball. But next up, we got the Southland Conference. Going to be a very different look to the Southland, as a lot of teams have left the Southland to go to the Western Athletic Conference, also known as the WAC Conference. But Southland, man, should be very good still. I know a lot of guys are transferring in and out of the Southland from what I can remember off the top of my head. It's going to be a very good look, and we'll see what happens with the Southland. Probably coming tomorrow in our back-to-back special.
I definitely agree with you. Completely new look for the Southland. Obviously, last year, you know the story about the Southland. Albine Christian.
Yep, I remember. I got no comment about that. But they are gone now, correct? They're in the WAC conference now?
Yep, they are.
Yeah, so we won't be talking about them next episode, thankfully. We'll talk about them eventually, but not next episode. But, yeah, I mean, I think that is all we have for today with the SoCon Conference. 41 days till that season begins, man. We are getting to the swing of things, as there is now less than six weeks left until the new season is upon us. So excited, man. I was looking at a lot of last year's stats and just a lot of preseason stuff going on. I'm just so excited. And I was also looking at the schedule for the first week. There are some very good non-conference games in the first week of college basketball. I'm very excited to get to it, and it's coming very, very soon. So that is all I have for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in, as always. And it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.